tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads from over 200 countries and your number one source in after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, Ray Donovan fans. Oh, you're all in tears right now, so are we. Welcome to the Ray Donovan After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. We're talking about Season 2, Episode 8, Sunny. I'm Matt Lieberman. Panel's all here. Cornelia Stradwick's here.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Anna Koppel's here.
Hey, guys.
And Isaac Johnson's here.
Hey, everybody.
And we have a very special guest in the studio with us today. Omar Dorsey, who plays Cookie Brown, is with us.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Yeah. Oh, can we boost Omar's mic?
Just a tad bit.
There we go.
Yeah.
Why'd you have to do it, Omar?
Because it was in the script.
Yeah, okay. that's a pretty good reason.
That's a good reason.
Yeah. So we're gonna get into that whole storyline and talk to you about your whole time on the show a little later in the show. Let's get through everything else right now because I feel like once we start talking about it, we won't be able to stop. So
crying. We won't be able to stop crying.
Exactly. Yeah. Ray has tasked Avi to follow Abby. She's now been sleeping. I think we've skipped like maybe 2 weeks into the future from last week.
What happened? She's in love with him all of a sudden?
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty fast. But
well,
I mean,
she hadn't had anybody in 20 years.
It's the longest time.
So she doesn't know what love. You
know,
no. Like, I'm in love. Nah, that's not what, this is lust.
Well, that's the thing. The last time that she was single, she was a teenager practically. Right. She was like 19. So she doesn't know what love is. It's been a long time. And just have someone young and attractive, actually attractive, Anna. He's not a thumb-headed person. Toe-headed person. Fine. But in any case, you know, to have that kind of attention, it's addictive. And especially when you're in a situation like this marriage that is so, you know, thoroughly toxic at this point. So Ray has tasked Avi to take photos of him. And Avi, once again, is just pleading with him. Like, you don't want this. Please don't make me do this. I don't want to be a part of this. And Ray is deaf to all his cries. So Abby comes up to, she's like, hey, all right, are we going to go up to the room now? And he's like, let's have breakfast first. Yeah. And she's like super nervous. She thinks that, you know, just because he didn't want to immediately have sex, that he was going to break up with her. Like, what's going on in this like weird relationship? Cause he's asking her if she's all in, which, like, she's married, she's older than him. Mm-hmm. They've only been sleeping together for what seems like a couple of weeks, if that.
Yeah.
So, like,
yeah, because where we left off last time, she was crying. They weren't having sex. Like,
yeah.
They were outside of the hotel room and motel room, and she was crying. So
yeah.
We weren't even sure whether or not they were actually sleeping together. Now she's, are you all in? And she's in love. This is, they are both very unstable.
They're
people.
Like teenagers.
Yeah, but it's like kids.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
It reminds me of like high school, you know, you have sex with somebody, like, oh, we're all in love now. Nah, man.
They
don't even seem to talk. Because she asked him, are you okay with me having kids? You just now asking him this?
Right.
He did it like seven times. Like, where are we?
And also,
it's weird.
She keeps calling him on, you know, she's like, I have kids. Is that a problem for you? He's like, no, I like kids. She's like, you're a liar. And he's like, no, I'm not a liar. But at the same time, his energy reads differently. Like,
he's sitting there all super moody, just talking to Bridget, and he's just kind of like pouting. And
almost like he doesn't want to be there.
You're talking to her, not me.
Yeah, don't go home for your son's birthday.
What a model cop.
Men who like kids and might want kids date single women who they might marry.
Right.
Not
women who already have almost fully grown kids, teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, at that point, you're not going to be their parent. You're managing a situation.
Right.
Am I wrong?
Right. Yeah. No, I don't mean, some men like, I mean, they don't mind if a woman has kids.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Some women, I mean, some men don't.
Yeah.
it might not be the first thing you look for, but if you fall in love with a woman, you're like, oh, it's all good, or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So it's not like general. That's not generalizing like that.
Yeah. But not a married woman.
Oh, yeah. No. You know what I thought? I mean, if you there sleep with a married woman, it's like, yeah, it doesn't even matter at that point. Like, why are we even talking about your family?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's go room 208 and do what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is about this right now.
Right.
Which makes it all the more strange
that
Jim is like, you know, are you all in on this?
Right.
Like, as if he already has this vision of, like, liberating her from this terrible marriage and sweeping her off to the suburbs with him in his little house. Or at least little...
Truesdale.
Yeah, little compared... he can't afford Truesdale.
Yeah, not in that cop salary, no.
No. Avi takes these pictures. He's like miserable. Lena joins him in the van, mm-hmm. and she's like, "Have you ever dated a married woman?" Avi's like, "No." She's like, "God knows I have."
Yeah.
It's different. It's different when they're married. Ray comes into the office, and he asks Avi for the pictures. Avi is like just very loath to hand it over. He gives him the file from his buddy in internal affairs, and we reveal that Jim's actually a pretty honest cop, it seems.
Yeah, worse than homicide before.
Homicide, nominated for the Medal of Valor.
Once had even worse facial hair.
Yeah, that mustache was beautiful. Yeah,
survived that whole situation.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. He's by the books. And Ray demands the other pictures. He needs to know. He needs the proof. He's been suspicious. He's been pretty sure, but he needs to see it so that he can act on his feelings.
Yeah. I was kind of curious as to, cause Avi's very, against giving Ray any of this information, and mm-hmm. Lena has to sort of like, well, if you don't, I will. I'm kind of wondering what's the reason that Avi's so reticent to reveal what's actually going on with Abby.
I think it's because he knows what he's going to do. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Ray isn't the normal... This isn't a guy who will find out his wife is cheating and then will try to leave her or divorce her. Ray went to the dude's house, mm-hmm. kicked the door in. I think Avi really knows this dude, and he's like, this is just going to open up a can of worms. And on top of that, Ray's a cheater.
Mm-hmm.
So
Lena brings it up. She's like, if the shoe was on the other foot, you know, like, what if Abby had seen pictures of Ray? He's cheated on her dozens of times. Or not dozens, but plenty.
A dozen.
Maybe an even dozen. Maybe a baker's dozen.
Who knows which kind of dozen? I'm not sure if that's important.
Baker's dozen is 13.
I know what it is.
One more than a dozen.
Thank you.
Okay. I think
that Avi really loves the family. He seems to really care about the kids. He seems to really care about Abby. And I think he doesn't want to see them fall apart, even though they're really a tragic family. But I think that somehow he knows that Ray knowing about Abby stepping out of the marriage will bring a new level of brokenness to them that he just doesn't want to see happen to any of them.
Yeah, and he cares about them. He also cares about Ray, and this is seeing these photos will only cause you pain, and you will only do things that are purely self-destructive.
Right.
Nothing positive will come from you seeing these photos. That's why I didn't want to take them. That's why I don't want you to see them. Nothing good will come of it. But of course, Ray takes them, and it's right when he has his meeting with you, which, like, Ray at this point, he's emotionally compromised. And I think it's why he didn't necessarily see the Lee thing coming. And I feel like maybe he would have had a better handle on it if he was focused. And right now, he's not.
And I think Avi knows that. He's like, if you see these pictures, it'll throw everything, mm-hmm. you know, out of orbit.
And you have way too many plates spinning to be having that in your head.
Right, right.
Yeah.
He has to be focused.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I think it is.
Yeah, and instead of being focused, he's going to Jim's place. He's kicking in the door. I love Jim's, like, I knew we'd see each other sooner or later. Like some kind of hero cap. He's a cat.
Yeah.
No shame either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jim has no shame.
He has no shame.
He's like, it's up to her. Like, sir, do you want to die?
You do know that Ray's very lucky that he kicked into a cop. He kicked in the cop's door and didn't get shot.
Right. Because he would have been very much within his rights.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Kicking anybody's door.
Yeah, he's on his premises.
Right.
Yeah. But you're absolutely right, Canalia. He doesn't take any responsibility. He doesn't think of what he's doing is wrong at all. You know, the fact that he's sleeping with another man's wife.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, I knew we were going to see each other sooner or later. He says, you're going to stop seeing my wife. Like, just very plain. Like, not even, like, not a question, not a threat. Mm-hmm. Just, you're going to stop seeing my wife. He's like, that's up to her. It's like, no, it isn't. No, it isn't. It's, yeah. It's, one of my favorite things about this show is, like, I think it's very much about masculinity and all the ways that it manifests itself. And I love that it's a woman writing this show, mm-hmm. and it's so well done. But, like, these two squaring off, they both have very clear ideas of what right and wrong are, mm-hmm. And they're both muddy on both sides. Sure. 'Cause this is, you know, a guy who ostensibly is a hero cop, but is still not only okay with sleeping with another man's wife, but is really thinking about getting her out of that situation and taking her for himself. Mm-hmm. And he says it's her decision, but I wonder how he'd feel if she said, okay, now it's time to stop. 'Cause it seems like he's really got a plan here. He's like trying. He's talking about, you know, like, are you all in?
Yeah, it seems like he's in pretty deep into the relationship, and maybe it's just delusional at this point. It's kind of hard to tell.
Yeah,
I feel like he would shoot her.
You think he would shoot?
I feel like he's the type. Wow. Anybody who's like this soon on, like, are you all in? Whatever. And he does.
He's very intense.
Feel like, yeah,
one of those crazy boyfriends that like try when you break up with them, they try to like fake kill themselves. Like, I'm gonna kill myself.
How often does this situation come up?
Everybody has it.
Everybody has it.
Sure, I'll take your word for it. I really like the face off with him and Ray standing there in like a pretty tense moment, mm-hmm. gun in his face. Ray is unflinching, of course, because not the first gun in his face, I'm gonna assume.
Nope.
It was really cool. I like that a lot.
Oh yeah, I love he walked towards him, he's like, come on.
Go ahead and pull it.
Pull the trigger, shoot me.
I thought for a second there, did Ray maybe really want him to pull the trigger? Because how sad he's sort of been, like the look on his face was like, if you pull the trigger, I'm actually kind of fine with it. I don't know.
Anybody I think else? I agree with you on a level. It was definitely like a moment of like, I got nothing left to lose. Like, you know, I'm in so much pain. Mm-hmm. If you want to shoot me, shoot me. But also know that in doing so, yeah, I did kick in the door of your place, but you've been sleeping with my wife, and when people investigate my death, they're going to see that I was investigating it. They're going to see that you have motive outside of that, mm-hmm. and it's going to ruin your reputation. Go ahead. Do it. Yeah. You have no power here.
And Avi will kill him.
Yeah.
If he killed Ray, Avi... Oh, yeah. Or he already said, I'd rather kill the guy than give Ray the pictures.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So he would die regardless.
He said a matter of fact, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We'll just kill the cop.
Let's just kill him.
Yeah, like, I'll have the turkey on rye, and also I'd just kill him.
Yeah. Turkey on rye, cop murder, and do you have any Dr. Brown's cream soda?
Yeah, I'm not sure, but we've got a sarsaparilla in the back.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
Sarsaparilla.
So Ray calls up Abby, and he's like, you're going to be home later. And she's like, what is that tone? He's like, I got some papers for you to sign. Click. And part of me was like,
divorce papers?
Really? Yeah. I'm like, that fast? Wow.
It was also before he had evidence of her cheating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, he comes home late, and she's sitting there. She's already stewing and pissed. And he drops the folder with the photos. It's like, I know. It's out in the open. There's nothing you can do about it. And then he gives her the loan application for the Truesdale house. And he's like, sign the form. And she's like, absolutely not. I'm on my way out. And in her mind, she's like, she's making a break for it. She's doing this very bold, daring thing by running away with this young lover. I want to know what you guys think is going through Ray's mind in this scene when he's basically saying, you're gonna sign this form. We're gonna keep going. This isn't gonna be the thing. We're not gonna end this marriage over this thing.
Sure. I get the feeling that the form signage is just to hit this first, but like that he just can't have a paper trail. So he probably has Abby sign stuff maybe, but I think also he just can't be too judgmental because she does call him out on how many times he's probably cheated, how many pictures would there be of you, that kind of thing. He just wants it to stop.
But men think that's different.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
You know that. It's like, hold on, I can do what I do.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But you can't do it.
Exactly.
That's how I took it. Yes, he wanted Abby to sign the papers, but I don't think that he wanted her to sign the papers as a let's move forward thing. I think in the back of his mind, he still can't handle that she's sleeping with somebody else. He's still not going to be able to handle it. And we saw that because he went upstairs and started grabbing her stuff and throwing it out. Like, he wasn't, he didn't call what's her name the other day and ask her to come
Kate,
out there. Yeah, ask her to fly back to LA.
Mm-hmm.
So I just took it as, I already got the paperwork done, just sign the damn papers, and I'm still I'm still bitter and pissed that you cheated.
To me, it's a power move. It's saying, you know, I know what you did, but I'm not going to let you go. You want to go? You want to sleep with this other guy? Sign the papers.
Do we know what the papers are?
It's a loan application for the new house.
I know what it was for. I didn't know if it... So, is it also like, I bought you this?
Yeah.
You know how men do sometimes?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. But look, this is what I did for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I think it was.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's used it as a bargaining chip before with her.
Right. And that's him basically saying, this guy can't buy you a Truesdale house.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
He wouldn't get approved for a loan for a Truesdale house.
Yeah,
what do you think on
it?
No, I completely agree that it was a power thing. But, you know, I think there are two kinds of cheating. And, like, one is just, like, I can't get enough of sleeping with other people because just that's the kind of scoundrel that I am. And then there's also, like, there's something missing in my relationship. And I'm not emotionally fulfilled here, so I'm going to find it with another person.
It's physical and an emotional cheat.
Yeah, like
And that's
women cheat emotionally. Men most of the time cheat physically.
Men cheat emotionally too.
It's possible, yeah.
Some do.
When there's something missing from their relationship. Yeah.
I suppose so.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't believe it.
Yeah. No.
Well, there is.
I do believe that. A lot of times, man. It's just like you said, just like, I gotta just spray my seed or whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And women are like, I'm not fulfilled by this man, so I'm going to get it from somewhere else.
And Abby made that really clear to him, and she was like, it's too late, I don't want this from you. All I've wanted is for you to see me, for you to look at me, and you can't. You can't share anything with me, you can't share your secrets with me.
Can't share your pain, he's like, what is that going to accomplish?
Yeah.
I think he's so wrapped up in his own pain. Like, I don't think he could even say the words. I think it's beyond words. Like, the guy, he deals with so much, and then he just piles more on. He's just like, no, like, that's why I feel like when he walked up right up to the barrel of Jim's gun, he's like, do it. Because he's got, how else is it all going to flow out of him?
Sure.
Yeah.
He also says a really interesting thing to her when she's like, he's like, I think, like, whatever she thinks she's going to get from the Jim relationship, he's like, if you think that's going to make it better, it won't. And I felt like he was a little way saying that to himself.
Yeah.
About how unfulfilling this is. And he doesn't want her to, I guess, see how hard that is, too, even though he doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Or just sort of like, you know, you think this will make it better. I've been there.
Yeah.
It didn't
make
it better.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah. In any case, he tries to throw her out of the house, but then ultimately she shows that she still has the power in this relationship because she kicks him out. There's nothing he can do about it. He tries to kiss her. He tries to make it into a sex thing and use sex as kind of like sex as bargaining again, which they kind of do in their relationship. And she's not even having any of that.
She tried to get real uppity too. Like, I'm the one who's here every day. I'm the one taking care of this family. Like, you might be there every day. Yeah, and you know when he first came home and she had, like, that coffee mug in front of, like, you know that mug was full of wine, you know? Like, there's just no way. She's there drinking every day. She goes to yoga every day. But where is she taking care of that family every day, taking care of the house?
She picks up the Jerry's Deli takeaway for everybody. Everyone got turkey sandwiches.
Only Bridget got soup. There was nothing else in there.
Yeah, only Bridget got soup.
Only because she was sick.
Only because she was sick. Okay, so in any case, we've got a lot to chew on for next week with this plot line. We got to move on. Kate re-enters the fray. Her article gets published based on everything that Ray and Cochran and Mick fed her a couple episodes ago. And, you know, she's calling Ray, like, oh, did you like it? Oh, are you still interested? She's, like, you know, flirting with him over the phone. And he's not even giving her more than, like, cursory answers. And she's like, screw you, man. Call me back when you give a shit. Mm-hmm. She hangs up. And I'm like, I love it. Great. Mm-hmm. Don't take his crap. And then the mother of Sully's girlfriend shows up and basically, you know, throws a wrench in the works. She's like, look, we had always had a plan. If she was in witness protection, she would send me a postcard. She never did. She's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And Kate's like, you lied to me. What's going on here? How could you lie to me? This, my reputation is everything, and you basically ruined me. And Ray's like, yeah, I gotta go.
Well, my thing is, what does she expect? Like, these aren't regular criminals. This isn't a regular guy robs a bank, and now he's locked up, gets out. Let me do some research about the story. she couldn't have, it's a little naive, in my opinion, for her to think she was going to go to Los Angeles, sit down with the FBI, and they were going to tell her exactly what happened. Her. Out mm-hmm. of everybody, Oprah, Barbara Walters, everybody, her. They were going to tell her exactly what happened. She was going to break this amazing story, fly back to the East Coast, and everything was going to be fine.
Has a future head of the FBI ever been on Oprah?
No. But if so, we don't know. But why would...
It also just never seemed like she bought the story in the first place. Yeah. Then she ran with the article. I'm kind of like... Is she really that surprised that there was a lot of lies in there? It seemed like she picked that up when it was being told to her. But
And why is she upset? Wasn't she working on a book? I mean, papers print retractions all of the time. Like, they can just do that and it'll be fine. It's not like she wrote her whole book and then she did, like, the Oprah circuit with it, like that guy. And
with the book.
It's a difference between printing a retraction and, like, that was her whole story. Like, it will ruin her reputation if that story came out wrong.
Sure.
And that's what she's going to, that's what she fights. She doesn't want her reputation to be ruined. A difference, like, and she was an investigative reporter.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Not like a retraction, but, you know, well, he didn't say, well, LeBron James really didn't say this. This is different right here.
Yeah.
This is all she has is her reputation.
Yeah.
So she's going to be pissed. You know, that's how.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, you lied and you made me look like a fool.
And you know, like, I'm compromised here. Like, we slept together. We had a relationship. So, like, if it comes out that we had a relationship on top of the fact that I left facts out, whether because I didn't know or because I left them out intentionally, people can draw conclusions from that. You know, my career could very well be over here. And you don't give a shit. That's a problem. And also, like... She, you know, she sniffed out, like, this case. She knew there was more to it, even before she got out there. She was determined to find out the truth. And the fact that, you know, they covered up, Ray effectively covered up a murder and hid it from her, that the FBI covered up a murder, of course she's going to be insanely upset. Because that's a crazy huge story. That's a crazy huge story. And it's really messed up on top of everything.
Oh, yeah.
A woman is dead. Multiple people are dead.
Yeah.
She didn't say for sure that she was coming back in the episode, but we have to imagine this isn't over.
She'll be back.
Oh, yeah. She'll be back with a vengeance. Okay. Just real quick before we move on, I just want to talk really quickly about iTunes. Folks, keep the reviews and the ratings coming. It really helps us out here at AfterBuzz TV. It's how we're able to get great guests like Omar. It's how we're able to get sponsors who keep our lights on and our doors open. And it's the only way that we know that we're servicing you properly. We're giving you the best possible Ray Donovan after show that we possibly can. Everyone's laughing at my verbiage choice, and I'm fine with it.
Yeah, it was interesting.
I am fine.
Great choice.
So please keep those coming. You also get a great shout out here on the show. So thank you. Okay, so what else is Ray contending with this week? He's got Lee's return after his extended honeymoon is the excuse for not having him on screen all season. Mm-hmm. He makes quite a return indeed. He sits down in his beautiful pool only to have Cookie and his guys come up on him. And I totally thought you were going to kick him in the face, but instead you just casually just push him below water. Because that's the thing is, like, Cookie... He doesn't go to anger. He's a very contained, very controlled person, at least so far.
Right.
He knows his business.
Right.
And, you know, whoever cares the least, it's like being in a relationship. Whoever puts the least into a relationship has the most power. Exactly. So he's not going to be exposed.
Nah. That's exactly it. Yeah. You know, you can't really show your emotions. You can't go over the top. Omar would go over the top and get upset, but a person like Cookie he has the power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just a little bit of flex is enough to scare somebody.
Right. Yeah.
That's all you have to do, a little bit. So you put the foot down, just push his foot straight down. You know,
it's like
I could have kept it there, drowned him, but no, just want to, you know, wake him up a little bit.
Exactly. It's just letting him know, listen, I'm in charge.
Right.
You don't need to know why.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But I am.
Yeah. And he knows why.
Yeah.
You know, so, because he hadn't been returning my phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
You remember, that's what I was saying. Yeah. That's what he said last week. He said last week. Like, you know, your boy hadn't returned my phone calls.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he knew.
All right. Yeah. So Ray gets over there, and we've got this sort of this ongoing situation where you want custody of Marvin, you want control of his career,
right?
Because you had invested the initial seed money in Recon's label,
right?
Before you went away, and you know, he Cookie is somebody who I feel like, and it's in the line where like I'm not going to be bought off. I want equity,
right?
He's a very savvy businessman,
exactly, right?
Yeah. So what's his like? What's his background? Like, what did they tell you when you first came on to the role?
They didn't really say much. They just said that, you know, he was a exec. You know, it's the archetype. You know, the Puffy, the Suge Knight.
Yeah,
I took it as Titus Andronicus or okay. Richard the Third or Mephistopheles.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's way deeper
than
like some, you know, just that archetype. Mm-hmm. We all know that man. We know the devil.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure, mm-hmm.
So it's the devil, you know, and that's the way that I perceived it.
Yeah.
So, you know, but, you know, his background is just a street guy who came up from the streets and became successful by any means necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I like what you're saying about Richard III and Titus Andronicus, because one of the most compelling things about him to me is he has this insane level of personal integrity.
Right.
Where, you know, he has a code, he lives by it.
Right.
He expects other people to live by it. And when they don't, you know, he reacts. Like not, like almost casually. It's
right.
Like, this is what I said would happen, and this is what's happening.
It's just business.
It is business. Mm-hmm. And he's sort of crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's a little bit off his rocker.
There's
so
that. Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's like, you know, like, when he says, I don't want a paycheck, you can't pay to keep me in check.
Mm-hmm.
That's a beautiful line.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, when I read it, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
So, and shout out to Chael Coker, he wrote this episode. When I read it, I was like, man, that's Cookie in a nutshell.
Yeah.
And it is that, you know, it's his own brand of integrity.
Yeah, principles.
You know, it's his own brand of principles. It's regular street principles.
Yeah.
It's just man principles.
Yeah.
You know, and where one person might get upset, it might go to a courtroom. Some people might go to you know, on the warpath.
Yeah,
I'm like, and make it real quick.
It's never going to the courtroom.
Yeah.
Right.
I love the face off with you and Leah Schreiber there.
Right.
With you know, you have the little thing with the gun and okay,
right.
I'll put it away or whatever.
Right.
I want to hear about like that day.
Do you know what that is?
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah. Because in the first episode we had the face off. It was just the, you know.
Yeah, this one was.
It was
tough.
A little bit like the first one was a little bit. I thought of it as like lightweight, The Art of War.
Sure.
You know, some Sun Tzu type stuff. So let me see who's going to flinch first.
Yeah.
And he didn't flinch. So I'm like, all right, cool. So I know what kind of man I'm dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this one, it was a little bit more. He's the only person out of that whole crew who I respect. I don't respect Lee.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I don't respect Recon. Or Cookie doesn't respect Recon or Lee. But when Ray comes in, I'm like, all right, cool. Now we're talking business.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who I can really sit down and talk to. It's a real man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, so that, you know, that whole day, that's my whole mindset during that whole scene. That's why I just, like, there are lines in that scene that got cut out.
Okay.
Like between Lee Drexler and Cookie.
Okay.
They had it because it was just so degrading. I'm just degrading them. In front of his wife and degrading his wife too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Can you stop bringing people shit?
Yeah.
That was so funny.
That was great, yeah.
Well, you already got him when you noticed the facelift. So that alone, that was plenty.
Yeah. Right.
Scars behind his ear.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, but like I said, like especially like when Ray gets there, he settles everything down.
Mm-hmm.
And when he says, like, look, come by my office and we'll talk about it. Then I'm like, all right, it's already done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't even need to deal with this little man anymore.
Sure.
I got a real dude in front of me right now.
Yeah. You know, Ray's a man of principle, too. And
exactly.
They got to see that similarity in each other.
Right. And I'm quite sure Cookie knows, like, when Ray, last week when Ray was like, I know who you are.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Cookie knows who Ray is also. So it's like he already knows his reputation. He knows he's a real man.
Uh-huh.
You know, a man of principle, like you said.
Yeah. Ray came up through the streets, too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, game recognized game at that point. You know, it's like, all right, cool. It's a real dude like I'm dealing with. Yeah.
Yeah. And I love this moment with the gun where you turn it towards him. It's like it's letting him know the same way, you know, you can't pay to keep me in check.
Right.
It's saying, you know, like, you can't control me,
right?
But I'm putting this away so that we can talk business,
right? That's what I looked at it as. It's like, you know, hey, put that away. Who are you talking to?
Yeah,
you gonna, you know, it's funny. I'm like, you gonna, like, and that was a choice. I was like, I'm gonna turn it, point it right at you. You gonna make me put it away? You gonna make me put it away?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's still like a little cat and mouse game.
Yeah.
And he just looks, and I'm like, all right, oh, you here for business? Ain't here to play. Mm-hmm. You know, then you give it to the fellas.
He says you're no fun.
Yeah. You're no fun.
Yeah. So Ray summons Recon, who obviously, you know, like, he's really attached to Marvin. He considers him to be his son.
Right.
He's been doing the best he can. He did everything that Ray asked him to do, kind of. You know, he smokes a little weed, but all kids smoke weed. Maybe true. Maybe not all of them. But
maybe not all of them.
A decent portion. It's only going to go up.
50-50.
50-50, maybe. So Recon, though, he sees sense. He's like, there's no point going to war with Cookie. Like, I can't stand up to him. Like, that's not any kind of heat that we need right now. I get it. The smart play is to let him go. And Lee doesn't get it whatsoever. He's like, come on, let's just give him some money. He'll go away. Not the case.
No.
Yeah. When Lee calls Ray, let's talk about your other scene with Ray. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it, Ray is slick because he has ulterior motives. He's like, oh, I can get this kid out of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, perfect. I can get him out of my life.
Yeah.
So it's not just like, oh, you know, well, I guess we got to placate to Cookie. He's like, nah, this is one thing I can cut off this thing. I can cut this cancer off of me.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not around my daughter anymore. Mm-hmm. Take him to South Beach.
Yeah. And I love that Cookie recognizes that in him and is like, okay, I respect it.
Right. It's more like game recognized game.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I always say to him, you know, I'm a father too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Saying, I'm a gangster like you, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, right. I get it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. You know?
Yeah.
So Ray ain't really that clean with it. You know, he's not really like, you know, yeah, let's just do this and let's just get it done because I'm scared of Cookie. Ray's probably not that scared of Cookie.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? But he can get him out of his daughter's life.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay, yeah. Let's go ahead and get him, put him. Take him to South Beach.
Yeah.
It's that type of thing.
And, again, this is Ray emotionally compromised. He's just seen the photos for the first time of his wife stepping out on him. And he says, come to your office and we'll talk. It's not really talking. He's like, you know, this is happening. Take him to South Beach. Now get the fuck out of here.
Right. But I got what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So here's the deal. I mean, you know, that's the deal that I wanted. I was like, you know what? Let's just make it quick. There's no need to sit and have tea and crumpets. You know what I'm saying? Just knock this thing on out.
Yeah.
So that was perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. What'd you guys think of the scene?
It was a good scene. It even had its funny moments before we even got into that. When you said,
got some emotional motherfuckers.
Motherfuckers working for you. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's true. Abby was in tears. Ray was like melancholy.
Right.
So, you know, it had ups and downs, which was. Yeah. It was a good, good scene.
Yeah.
Right. And that's one thing about, like, you know, like, just off the beaten path. It's just like, that's one thing about, like, playing Cookie. It's like, you could do it mean the whole time, or you can do it with some levity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make it a little funny.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's how, you know, if you hang around real gangster people, they're not gangsters. Maybe they're probably gangsters probably like 1% of the time. And you don't want to be around them that 1% of the time.
Yeah.
The rest of the time, they know they own the world.
Mm-hmm.
They're laughing, they're having a good time. So it's that type of dude.
Yeah.
You know, life is good for them.
Exactly. Yeah. Everybody else has to sit around and laugh at their little lame jokes.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Oh, that was that was funny.
Yeah.
You got me again.
What I like about it is it's also an assessment. It's also letting him know that it, like, on some level, and tell me if I'm off base here, but like just taking stock of like, like, your people they can be compromised. Like,
In what way?
What way? If they're, he's like saying you've got some emotional motherfuckers working for you.
You need a better team.
You need a better team. Like, my guys, you wouldn't see them crying.
Yeah, it's sort of like that. Like, dang. You know what? First one I read, I'm like, oh, that's how you get down?
Mm-hmm.
You get down with people like that? Okay, that's what's up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, because I'm quite sure Cookie knows that that's his shooter.
Yeah,
you know that the big guy over here. Yeah, that's your shooter right there. Okay, dang, he's real sad over here.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
yeah.
I don't think that I didn't read it as something that that Cookie was really like taking stock of, like putting in his pocket for later, because as you were saying, that Ray's really the only one out of the bunch that he respects anyway.
Right.
So I don't know that that's something.
I think it came I think it came across as a surprise though.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Dang, that's how you get. I mean, you know, but like it is like, you know, like just noticing, like, wow, everybody in here is very melancholy.
Yeah.
What happened? You know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah.
Trying to break the ice a little bit.
Yeah.
You know.
All right. I want to move on and talk about Mickey real quick, and then we're going to come back around to this when we talk about Bridget and Marvin and our horrifying conclusion. Right.
Broken hearts.
Yeah. So Mickey gets a call from Paramount that this big producer, Jerry.
Jerry Weiss.
Jerry Weiss is interested in hearing the pitch for Mick's movie. Ronald won't let him go see Paramount, so Paramount comes to him, and to let Mick off the leash, she cons him. She's like, you know, like, you ever done any consulting work? You know, $250 an hour? Like, it'll be nice. Give me your card. Give me your card. And Ronald's like, oh, no. She's like, give me your card. He knows, and he knows when he's been beat. He needs that money. He's got a gambling problem.
Money is his trigger.
Mm-hmm. Mick gets to go out to Jerry Weiss's beautiful estate, he delivers his pitch beautifully, and this guy is immediately...
He's moved, man.
He's moved. He's on board.
Grabs his secretary's knee.
He grabs the Paramount Pictures lady's knee.
That was her.
Yeah, which is just like... Yeah, this guy's a old school misogynist kind of guy. The kind of guy who could find a clit in a forest of clits.
Oh, man, what a line.
Yeah. That's a beautifully written line.
Yeah, it's
good. And he's also the husband of the woman that...
Colleen.
Mm-hmm. That Mick slept with last year, who's dead, which now I'm very curious, now that they're maybe not going to be working together... Is that plot point going to come back? Because that was a huge reveal, and then it didn't go anywhere in this episode because we had all this Alan stuff to deal with. I mean, what do you guys think?
I mean, I would hope it comes back.
Yeah.
Because, you know, usually on a show, if they show you something, they show it to you for a reason.
Right.
You know, not per se to use it at that moment in time, but hopefully for it to come back. And it'll be good if it came back because now, because like you said, they're not working together, that leaves it open for maybe Mickey to be bitter. Or maybe him to use some different type of leverage to try to get back into, you know, into good graces with them. Or maybe to blackmail him. You never know.
Yeah. Or when Kate comes back and starts blowing this whole thing wide open and she finds out who Colleen is and asking him Jerry about Mickey Donovan, it could open up that way. That could be interesting. Yeah. But in any case, he buys the pitch. Everyone's happy. We got this big party. And Mick, what was the line about the Jews? I can't even remember, but it was so funny.
Oh,
yeah. It was like, don't steal. We had one rule: don't steal from each other. I'll only steal from the Jews.
Right?
Yeah.
Are there any Jews?
And then he was sitting in a room full of Hollywood executives. Yeah,
big like, house laughed. Big house laughed. They loved it.
Yeah.
Jerry, he's so curious about Mick. He's like, "What would you steal from my house? What would you steal?" And Mick gets to like, you know, give it a little juice and talk about what he would steal. And the silverware that's worth $3,000 a plate setting.
Real silver, man.
Real silver. Until Alan walks in with some young piece on his arm.
Yeah.
Where's Claudette this evening? I don't know. Out in Palm Springs, perhaps? And this does not sit right with Mick at all. Not one bit.
She's probably having to, like... put some salve on Daryl's emotional wounds Mickey inflicted last week.
She's probably at the dealership getting the car fixed.
Yeah.
Like,
in the middle of the night.
For the Cadillac dealership.
I don't know. I don't know about 10 o'clock at night on a Monday.
It started early. Remember, they were at this party all day.
That's true.
Yeah.
They were there all day. And, you know, we didn't see the nighttime situation until Mickey... boxed him up at the bar, and we'll get into that. But you know, Claudette, obviously she doesn't know because she doesn't seem like the type of lady that to sit around and let this dude just run all over
him.
I don't
think so. No,
yeah, all over her. So you know,
but Mick's gotta defend her honor there at the party.
In any case, Alan and Mick get into an altercation, and it completely blows up this movie deal in Mick's face. As soon as he had it, it's all gone.
Yeah.
And he steals $9,000 in silverware, and he lets Shorty know they're going to eat like kings for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
And part of me was thinking he was going to bring back that whole the thing Shorty wanted him to do that heist a few weeks ago. But it didn't come back this week. Maybe next.
It's a heist of some sort. He robbed a rich guy.
Yeah.
Some form of that plane.
Mm-hmm. So maybe we'll get a little more of that. We're running short on time, so I want to circle back to Bridget and Marvin. They have their wonderful recording session. The song turns out so good. And they're all so happy.
So
Recon
cute.
And Marvin and Bridget trying that weed for the first time. And she practically is like, oh my goodness, when she tries it, because she's that unprepared. And they're having too much fun for just a little too long, and they roll up to a red light, and we know they're doomed, and it's just, oh, shots ring out, Recon's down, and there's Cookie. And Marvin pleads for his life.
Tries to bargain, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, come on, man, and, like, I'll roll with you, everything's fine, you know, like, I'll do whatever you want, and...
Marvin knows at this point that there's no getting out of it. I don't think he would...
I think
he knows the rule of the street there, especially coming from the street himself,
mm-hmm.
and he knows it's... He's just trying to do anything he can.
Yeah.
To protect Bridget.
Yeah, too. That too.
Yeah, that's his main focus. I don't know if you guys noticed, but there's a time my eyes were about to drift to the back seat.
Yeah.
And then Marvin's like, hey, mm-hmm. look, man, look. That's when he starts going through the soliloquy about, I'll roll with you and this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
I won't tell anyone.
Yeah, I didn't notice that. Sweet.
So he's trying to protect his love. Yeah.
Yeah.
The man who y'all hate. And yeah,
I
see?
I don't hate him.
Now y'all mad because he got shot in the face.
We didn't want
this time
die.
Last week, y'all wasn't saying that.
Here's what it is.
We didn't want him to die.
Can you shoot him in some other way? He has he doesn't have a mom anymore. So say open face casket, you can't do that anymore.
And we just didn't want him with Bridget. We didn't want her doing hood rat stuff. She was smoking weed. Right? Like Anna pointed out before we even started. Before that, we were pissed. Because he passed her the weed. Like, we were like, oh. Mm-hmm. But we didn't want him to get shot. Yeah. Like, just make a move to, like...
To South Beach.
Yeah, South Beach.
Let him go bang all the honeys.
Let him go at that point.
He's a witness.
He's a witness.
But he's a witness with that golden voice.
Hey, he'll snitch one day.
That's true.
You know that.
Yeah, that bird will sing.
It was just so, like, we just had them drop a little L-bomb on each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, although you guys were hating that.
Yeah.
Because we didn't... Just because you don't want two people together doesn't mean you want them to die.
Yeah, not saying that.
So you were saying before the show that like that you knew about this before Octavius did.
Yeah, I did.
A few episodes before.
I did. I felt so bad for him, too. Oh, like I love Octavius. That's like my little brother. You know what I'm saying?
Great.
Love that kid. I talked to him earlier today when we was in the screening room. But I was like, man, and he looked. He said, man. Do you know I'm dying? I was like, yeah, I knew that about a month ago.
Aww.
He's like, you didn't tell me? I said, I was told I couldn't tell anybody.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, nah, I didn't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's all good, though.
Yeah.
He's a really great, fine young actor, man. He'll land on his feet.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm.
So tell us about shooting this on the day. It was wrong choice of words.
You know what? All right, so while doing Ray Donovan, I was also doing a movie in Atlanta at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah?
So, man, I flew from Atlanta, and we shot this on a Saturday. So I flew in on that Saturday morning, and we shot all day. And this is the last... We shot this at like 2:00 in the morning
mm-hmm.
on Sunday morning, and it was a heavy scene, man. Mm-hmm. It really was, and because Octavius has that moment, like, look, he's trying to fight his way out of it. So we talked. He and I just sat and talked about that scene, for like 20 minutes, and we just talked all the way through it. But it's such a heavy scene. I mean, we were crying. I mean, I wasn't crying, but people were crying on set.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And Biederman, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. She was crying. You know, she was like, man, I can't believe it. That you wrote it.
Yeah.
No. You know what I'm saying?
It's like, how could you?
You paid
me to do that.
I know. But, it was a very heavy, it was a heavy one. That was the heaviest day of us shooting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you just tell us anything about what's to come with your character? I mean, obviously, we're going to have more of you this season that has to play itself out.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun stuff with me and Ray.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So, let me see. It's just a lot of fun stuff with me and Ray.
Yeah.
As you know, like, we are both real men, real gangsters, too. So just a lot of fun stuff with us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a while since we've had, like, an actual, like, physically dangerous force up against Ray, like not jail time, not, you know, the FBI,
right?
But
right.
like someone who could kill him.
But the thing about it is, like, he's not. He's done nothing to me.
Yeah,
it's not like Sully. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
sure, yeah
it's
yeah.
not like that. It's just that, like, you know, it's just two big dogs. You know, so that's what's going to be real. It's going to be real fun these last few. Four more.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be these four gonna be really fun.
Okay,
they are, man.
All right.
Yeah.
Omar, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been a real pleasure having you. What's your Twitter handle so people can find you online?
Omar Dorsey. This is Omar Dorsey. Very simple.
Dorsey.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
And do you have anything else coming up that people should look out for?
Yes, I do. I have a film coming out Christmas Day. It's called Selma. Mm-hmm. It's about the Martin Luther King's march from Selma to the capital of Alabama. Mm-hmm. Great film, man. It's Oprah Winfrey produced, Brad Pitt produced, Paramount Pictures. Play civil rights leader James Orange. So I get to play a good homicidal guy. Maniac.
Yeah.
You know, and then I get to play a civil rights leader. So, yeah.
Very cool.
And it comes out Christmas Day. So, everybody, please go see that.
Great.
Yes. And can you talk about the thing you were shooting? You said you were.
That's what it was.
Oh, that? Okay.
That's what it was. Project. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Actually, me and Wendell Pierce both were shooting that at the same time.
Oh, cool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's in it. Yeah, he plays Jose Williams.
So, oh, great.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Folks, I mean, do we want to do a quick predictions?
You said you guys.
Oh, we got news and gossip. We got to talk about that.
AfterBuzz TV News.
So, folks, we have a piece of news that is very, very bitter indeed, and that is that.
Is that a pun?
It is a pun. It's a bitter pill that Ann Bitterman, the creator and showrunner of the show, will not be returning for the third season, reportedly due to budget overruns on the first and second seasons. You know, she's still going to be involved with the show. She's still going to be a creative force behind the show, but she will not be running the show. And that will be passed down to one of her other executive producers. So it's a real bummer because I think she's crafted an amazing show, but hopefully she'll still be very involved in the writer's room and it won't affect the quality of the series that we've come to love. Yeah. All right. Time for predictions.
And now you're AfterBuzz TV.
All right, so we're low on time, but does anyone want to throw out what's going down next week? I mean, obviously we've got, you know, Jim versus Ray in terms of, like, who is Bridget going to turn to? She calls her father in the final moments of this week's episode. So is he going to take care of it, or is she going to snitch to the police? What's going on? What are we thinking?
Well, I think once we saw her come, I think we saw her coming out of the police station. So I think she probably was a little, it's a possibility that she snitched. However, mm-hmm. I think Ray hopefully will talk to her and let her know, and Abby, because she's like the force behind this, to know you need to shut your mouth because these aren't just regular killers. This guy isn't just a regular burglar who broke in and shot somebody. No. If you talk, he's going to kill all of us and you. So I think it'll be okay in that regard. I don't think she's going to tell the police. Hey. I don't think.
You got her talking to Abby and Jim on the couch, and you got Ray coming in there. I don't know if that was like tricky cutting or something like that, but you've definitely got also Ray talking to her, Bridget, about this is what I do, these are the kinds of people I deal with, so I agree.
Yeah, and also, how brazen is Abby bringing Jim into this house in front of her children, no matter what happened? And obviously Ray's going to have something to say about that. Anna?
Yeah, I actually think that... more what I'm interested in is that, you know, while Ray has not done anything to Cookie, Cookie has done something to Ray, which is traumatize his little girl. And I think that, and, you know, even though he never liked Marvin, you know, he's now killed his little girl's boyfriend right in front of her. And that's awful and heartbreaking for her. And I think that he will now have a vendetta against Cookie. So.
Sure.
And maybe even more so just that his daughter saw this kind of violence in front of...
Oh, well, that's number one.
Was shown in front of her more so than the Marvin thing, because
right.
he doesn't want her in that world, and now she's right in the middle of it.
Yeah. All right. Folks, thank you so much for joining us. Another special thank you to our special guest, you, Omar Dorsey.
Thank you for inviting me.
Kenelia, where can the people find you?
You can find me at Kenelia on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And once again, I'll be at the Comedy Union on Tuesday, 8 p.m. Come see stand-up comedy.
Okay. Anna Koppel.
You can follow me at Koppel for Mayor, KOPPELFORMAYOR.
And Isaac Johnson.
You can follow me on Twitter at Isaac Johnson, Instagram, The Isaac Johnson, and head over to my YouTube page, also The Isaac Johnson. You can see a short film I did called The Forge. It's up online.
Okay, great. And you can find me on Twitter at Matt Lieberman. That's MattLieberman. You can also find all my videos for SourceFed and SourceFed Nerd on YouTube. And if you're in the LA area, you love live comedy, you can come see me at the IO West Comedy Theater, 6366 Hollywood Boulevard, next Sunday night. Unfortunately, I won't be able to be here with you guys because I have a show as a member of DJ Fawcett, a sketch team over there. So thank you all so much. We'll see you next week for another episode. Good night.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.